Welcome back to the Paracast.
Paul Kimball, Nicholas Redfern, Greg Bishop, Christopher O'Brien. In our last hour, we were talking to Chris and about the nature of his interest in UFOs, about the fact that in addition to the standard ET-type UFOs, all sorts of other stuff is going on around it. By the way, folks, if you want to find more of the things that we do, go to theparacast.com. That's our website, theparacast.com. We also have forums at forum.theparacast.com, where we talk about not just UFOs, ghosts, poltergeists, and conspiracy theories, but just about politics, anything. Anything that, of course, comes to our mind, even music, because we have musicians, entertainers here. So, Chris, let's get back to this aspect. And, gentlemen, just chime in if you feel necessary at this point. We're going to really open up the discussion. All right, so we have the standard UFO. We have the strange creatures. Can we think maybe the strange creatures are coming from spaceships?
Well, that's a definite possibility. And like Paul, I don't rule anything in or anything out. I just tend to take the data that I personally have been able to amass. And, you know, it's one thing to be an armchair ufologist, I think. There's a real problem, I think, in the field. People have a sense of being able to figure things out. And I was like this, too, for many years. It wasn't until I got into the field, actually looked witnesses in the eye, worked with law enforcement, worked, you know, closely with a network of folks that were highly motivated to at least document these events. It wasn't until I got to that point that I really started to get a strong sense or a hunch that we were dealing with something infinitely more complex than a single answer. And to be honest with you, going into my investigative work prior to moving to the San Luis Valley, I thought that, you know, it was all ETs and the UFO sightings and ufology in general was all based, you know, on aliens coming here from some other star system or galaxy. It wasn't until I had these meaningful coincidences that Nick very astutely pointed out. It wasn't until those types of events started happening to me, you know, up close and personal, that it really made me do a 180 about face and really start to second guess my assumptions about these types of events. So, you know, I think it's everyone has their own sort of gut feeling about what is going on in this whole realm, and I think that is a really good place for a person to start and to really kind of sense how their gut is telling them, you know, what's going on, what could be possibly behind it. So my gut's telling me that we're dealing with something a heck of a lot more complicated, and of course we haven't even begun to factor in the very likelihood of black budget money and your tax dollars at work and play. And, you know, disinformation, you know, very well orchestrated hoaxes. I mean, it's a very complicated kaleidoscope of elements that we're dealing with.
All right. So you raise the subject, black projects. In what fashion? What is the black project? The UFO investigation, secret weapons, what?
Well, I think all of the above. A really good example would be during the height of a pretty intense sighting wave that we had in Colorado. I happened to be driving one night back from a gig pretty late at night. It was just after midnight. If I had been any further away than I was from the following event I'm going to describe, I would have thought I saw a huge 300-foot UFO. What I observed was three, what appeared to be by the sound of their engines, because I did stop my car and listen, what appeared to be three cargo planes flying wingtip to wingtip across the leading edge of their wings was a perfectly sequenced chain of lights that would blink from the far left plane all the way down that plane across the wing of the middle plane all the way to the right plane all the way to the end in a burst of about 30 or 40 different white lights. It went just, you know, like a sequence of lights that would flash about every 5 seconds. And if I had been any further away than 5 miles, I would definitely have thought I saw a huge, you know, UFO flying over. But it was three cargo planes, wingtip to wingtip, with a synchronized light that flashed on the leading edge of all three planes. Now, why would the military do that in the midst of a sine wave period? Why would they trot something like that, light it up like a Christmas tree, and then fly it down the middle of the San Luis Valley? That indicates to me some sort of psyops, sort of psychotronic experiment, if you will, to see if anybody's going to see it, to see how they report it if they do, to see how the local law enforcement responds to the report, to see if the local media picks it up, and then to gauge the reaction in the public and as it filters into the culture to see how what sort of impact and how that impact plays out in the culture. And it's these types of events, I think, and I've got a whole bunch of them that indicate to me that our government, and the military or possibly quasi-military, paramilitary, whatever, is engaged in some sort of psychological weapons experiments, trying to gauge the effectiveness of conventional and possibly non-conventional technology.
Nick, I think this is an area where I think you'd have some useful comments to offer.
Well, this is an area I have looked into, it's a controversial area, and one of the reasons it's so controversial isn't because it couldn't be true that the government, is using psychological weaponry, if you like, or materials or technology, and that this has a bearing on the UFO issue. That's not the problem for a lot of UFO researchers. The problem is that it affects and undermines their belief systems. There's so many people within the UFO field who fortunately, not like anybody on the show right now, but who are, quote, true believers. And if you start saying, well, this case or that case may actually have been some sort of psychological warfare program, or maybe the people involved were subjected to some sort of modern-day MK Ultra mind manipulation program, they get very defensive because you're dealing with potentially upsetting very deeply held belief systems about certain cases. And I think possibly that's why, to some extent at least, the whole psychological warfare manipulation angle of the UFO subject has remained a fringe aspect, is because ufology attracts true believers, and true believers don't want the status quo upsetting. For example, I wrote a book, Body Snatchers in the Desert, about the Roswell story. Greg wrote Project Beta, or as we say in England, Project Beta. And which also, I guess, undermines certain ufological themes. And, of course, both books are panned. Now, whether people feel, the books should be supported or not, the fact is, in part at least, one of the reasons why there was criticism was because certain people in the field quite simply didn't like what they were hearing or didn't like what they were reading.
It's blasphemous.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we need to get past within ufology. We need to recognize that nobody really knows what's going on. And if there is a deep or even a fringe or a small amount of, psychological warfare involving the government, it's still an important aspect of the subject. And to dismiss it because it's not an exciting tale about aliens eating people under Dulce, New Mexico, well, that's... To me, that those are the people with the problem. If you cannot face the possibility that there's something else going on, you shouldn't be in the subject. So.
Body Snatchers of the Desert. Give our listeners kind of a brief summary about that book.
Well, basically what it was, I interviewed about six or seven people, elderly people, who essentially related the same account but broadly from their own perspective, and said that in the summer of 1947, when the whole Roswell thing kicked off, that there were a number, not many, maybe five or six experiments undertaken in the New Mexico desert, high-altitude experiments using large balloon arrays and Japanese prisoners of war to test the effects of high-altitude exposure on people, and that most of these experiments failed. Most of them were recovered quickly by the military. In one case, the one that became known as the Roswell incident, a civilian, Mac Brazel, got there before the military, and it led to the legend of the Roswell incident.
Now, so basically, we're doing experimentation on human beings here, and
yes,
we're trying to... That gets to raise a whole can of worms, and that can of worms will be opened shortly. We're having a special co-host paranormal roundtable featuring Chris O'Brien, Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop. You're in the PowerCast. Okay, neighbors, here's the problem. Face-to-face business meetings with clients and colleagues are always going to be important. But business travel is a hassle, and it's often a complete waste of money. Well, here's a solution for you. Do more, travel less with GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting is an award-winning online meeting service brought to you by Citrix. With just a click, host sales presentations, training sessions, or product demos right from your own desk. Avoid the hassle of traveling and still exceed your sales goals. Plus, GoToMeeting is just $49 a month for unlimited online meetings. Plus, voice over IP and phone conferencing is included. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. For this special offer, visit gotomeeting.com/podcast. Once again, GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Visit gotomeeting.com/podcast.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you've got to try MyPillow. Introducing the most revolutionary, most comfortable, and coolest pillow ever, MyPillow. Imagine your very own custom fit pillow. MyPillow is the only pillow of its kind on the market that uses a patented fill, custom made to your exact individual needs. MyPillow is 100% made in the USA and has a natural built-in cooling effect that keeps your cervical nerves cool, and that helps you get the best REM sleep possible. MyPillow helps alleviate snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, and other sleeping disorders. MyPillow is antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, machine washable and dryable, comes in many sizes and will not go flat. And best of all, MyPillow comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. So what do you have to lose? Except poor sleep. Go to MyPillowShop.com. Mention coupon code GCN and receive up to $40 off. That's MyPillowShop.com. Or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. MyPillow, for the rest of your life.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
It's good stuff.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis, Genesis.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Welcome back to our Paranormal Roundtable with Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop, Chris O'Brien, co-host all. You're in the Paracast. Chris, I think you have an answer, right? Or at least a response.
You know, I've always looked at this subject matter, and like I said, it is a very complicated kaleidoscope, but it has reminded me of a sleight-of-hand magician. Sleight-of-hand magic is very intriguing to me, and one of the things that you notice right off is that they always try to get you to look at the right hand while the left hand's actually, you know, up to the tricks. So I have always had a sense that we are being programmed to believe that certain things are so, when in fact there may be the right hand maybe deferring to the left hand in terms of what actually is going on. So, you know, again, I really think that it's important to remain open-minded, to not factor anything in or out, let the data, you know, kind of drive your conclusions. At this point, we don't really have the quality of data that we need to you know, prove any of these potential theories as being correct. So, and that goes with the ETH as well. I mean, we don't have one shred of physical evidence that, you know, shows us that we are dealing with something off planet, just as we don't have any real evidence to show that the government is behind most, if not all, UFO sightings, as some conspiracy, more conspiracy-minded people would suggest. So I think that it, by its very design, this is a very tricksterish scenario. And, you know, bringing that up, of course, I just wrote a book that looks at how the paranormal could be an illustration of a collective manifestation of tricksterism that we are all collectively unleashing upon ourselves. And that, of course, that's probably, you know, subject for a whole show. But
okay, so collective tricksterism, meaning that our subconscious creates these events?
Exactly. I would equate it as to being like a cultural stigmata, for instance. Stigmata, of course, is the spontaneous manifestation of faith in an individual. It's probably has a deeply rooted psychosomatic, you know, causal elements going on. Padre Pio, of course, was a very famous stigmatist. Stigmata is manifesting the wounds of Jesus. Oftentimes the scent of roses is also detected by people nearby. These wounds tend to not heal. This is a very interesting, I think, psychosomatic phenomenon. And I think what I'm suggesting is that the collective human unconscious on some level knows that we are going to at some point have to leave this planet. We're going to have to get out there and see the universe in order to save ourselves, because eventually we're going to be hit by like a Cretaceous ending asteroid event that happened 65 million years ago, or the sun's going to go into a spasm and fry the earth, or eventually in a billion plus years it's going to go supernova. So I think collectively we all know this. And so I think what we're doing on some level is manifesting real phenomena that are inspiring us and motivating us to get off planet, to get out there and see the universe, like a breath of wind blowing a dandelion and all the little dandelion seeds go flying off into the wind. At some point, we're going to have to do that for the human race to survive. There may be some sort of evolutionary imperative that is contained within the collective unconscious. Again, I do go with the Carl Jung idea of the collective unconscious as a manifestation of very basic symbols in all cultures around the planet. So, I mean, we really need to get creative and start factoring out closed system possibilities, closed system explanations before we get anthropomorphic enough to jump off planet.
Greg, where are you jumping with this?
Where am I jumping? I thought of a few things while people was talking. One was a government angle, which a couple of the, you know, Chris and Nick mentioned that I wrote a book called Project Beta, or Beta, Nick?
Beta.
Beta. What that book dealt with was the story of a guy who was basically looking at things he wasn't supposed to. He was looking at U.S. government operations, exercises, things like that, at a military base in New Mexico. Now, he thought it was aliens and UFOs from other planets, and he told the military that. And they either – it wasn't true, or they just didn't want him to think that. So they started telling him to continue to report to them. And eventually what happened was he ended up in a mental institution, and the government kept all its secrets. And the book I wrote about it, people were kind of irritated with it because I did not make a lot of UFO researchers look very good, mainly because it was a warning. People say, why is this important? Why is this government angle important? And I think it's important, at least from the standpoint of what I wrote, is because if some of these things come down the pike again, or we are being fooled again by somebody in the military or in the intelligence services of our country or any country, we should look for the, you know, kind of look for the hallmarks of that and take things with a grain of salt so we can find out a little better. And as for the high strangeness part of things and what Nick mentioned and getting involved, that's real interesting to me because I think when he said that, I realized when my mind kind of got flipped from being asking people, talking to people, doing interviews and that to being sort of very deeply involved with it. It was when I interviewed a researcher named Carla Turner, who is dead now. The night before I interviewed her, and she was an abduction researcher who claimed to have had abductions and her family had them, UFO abductions as they're called. The night before I was going to interview her, I started waking up. I got very nervous. I couldn't sleep. And I woke up at 2:22, 3:33, 4:44, 5:55, and 6. Well, that's as far as it goes.
You mean precisely at those times?
I wake up and I would look at the clock and that's what time it would be. And so I went to interview Carla that day and I said, Carla, what's going on? I woke up and she said, that's funny. Nobody's ever mentioned that, at least back in 1995 when I interviewed her. And that's a classic UFO abduction scenario, that somebody who's being affected by beings or whatever you want to call them, being abducted, having encounters, wakes up at those times. I said, I don't remember any such thing and it's never happened to me before. And it never happened to me after that. So what was going on there? What was I becoming involved with? I don't know. And there's no way I could have gotten that information because nobody had ever talked about it. So, you know, the phenomenon becomes recursive to you and starts talking to you. And at that point, a lot of the bets are off and you've embarked on a completely different voyage than you signed up for a lot of the time. Another reason that why all this continues to fascinate me.
Well, okay, this creates a whole bunch of things that we can talk about, which one of the possibilities being that maybe you were abducted because you kept getting up at those particular times, and I can't even begin to have you answer that question on this segment, and we will in a moment because we're getting to that time again. A reminder, ladies and gentlemen, you want to find out more about the show, theparacast.com. It's got the T-H-E ahead of it. Theparacast.com is our site where you can check out every single episode since the show debuted in February of 2006. We also have very active discussion forums at forum.theparacast.com. That's forum.theparacast.com, and some of our co-hosts occasionally drop in to say hello, but it's really a place for you to participate. We're talking to Christopher O'Brien, Paul Kimball, Nicholas Redfern, Greg Bishop. You're in the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Fortean phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or 2 sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Listen up, folks. This is important. Alex Jones here. Now you can get free shipping on the storable, easy-to-fix, delicious food from eFoodsDirect.com. From July 4th through July 14th, we have looming evacuations in the Southeast, unemployment insurance running out, and predictions of huge inflation. So we all need to get as much food as we can. Every one of you needs to buy as much storable food as possible. This is the perfect time to do just that with eFoods Direct and take advantage of their free shipping special. When you order from eFoodsDirect.com from July 4th through July 14th, every dollar you spend will buy the food, and eFoods Direct will pay for the shipping in the continental United States. This is Alex Jones wishing you and your family true independence this 4th of July with great food and free shipping through July 14th from eFoodsDirect.com. You can order on the website eFoodsDirect.com or simply call 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633 or on the web at eFoodsDirect.com/ship-free.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio.
You guys are awesome.
I love this station. I really do.
GCN.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
This is the co-host roundtable featuring Greg Bishop, Nicholas Redfern, Carl Kimball, Christopher O'Brien, Paul. So were you abducted?
Safe to say that the answer to that question is no. Not for lack of trying to be abducted by any one of a number of young actresses. But
yeah,
so far,
I was going
to
say.
He's married now, so he can't do that anymore.
Who's married? Greg's married.
Yes.
I'm not married.
Well, then you want to be abducted.
Yes, exactly. That was my point.
Paul still has a chance. I don't.
Okay, everybody who got that, raise their hands.
Okay, mine's up.
Everybody's hand is down. Everybody's thumb is down. I'm sorry, Paul.
No, that's all right. Sorry. That's what I get for trying to be funny.
No, that's okay. I mean, we are all trying to be funny. I never succeed, so anybody who can manage it is just marvelous. But seriously, Greg, you think having those crazy experiences, getting up at those weird hours, something really happened to you, or was it just because you had somehow gotten into some kind of mental rhythm there?
I think it's more of the second, because one, I didn't have any other indication that anything else was amiss. And two, I guess, you know, like anybody, that's what I choose to believe, based on the evidence that came to me then and later, and I had nothing else weird happen. One other weird thing did happen. The day after I left, when my friend took me to the airport, he said that when he got back, his neighbor said that two people who were dressed in some sort of workman's clothes were doing something to his water heater. It was one of those ones that's external outside the house in a metal, kind of a little metal shed. And they left, and before my friend got home, the fire department came because the water heater caught on fire and almost burned the place down. And I don't know why they were doing that or what, if it had any relationship to what had happened to us that weekend, but it seemed like, and Chris and Nick, I think particularly, and Paul with his ghost hunting will confirm this, when you get into certain areas, you somehow enter some sort of weird field. And things start making either weird sense or no sense at all, but it's all happening around you for a little while. And most of the time you can't make any, you know, head or tail of it, but you seem to be in the center of it. And if you're lucky, sometimes you get you might get a lesson out of it. If you're unlucky, it drives you crazy and you drop out of the field, I suppose.
You know, it's funny, ladies and gentlemen, I dropped out of the UFO field 3 or 4 times in my life. And I don't know if I can answer that question. I don't think anything weird happened to me. But, Paul, you were involved in a Canadian-produced ghost hunting type TV show. Did you ever meet up with a ghost or something really weird?
Well, those are two different questions. So did I ever meet up with a ghost? I don't know. And even if I did, I'm not sure I'd know it because I'm not sure what anybody means by ghost. But I'll adopt the definition that you mean. Somebody who's died and passed on to the next realm, if there is such a next realm.
Okay, granted. Let's use that one.
Sure. I don't know. Beats me. Did I have any weird experiences? Sure. Absolutely. I mean, you can't go as Holly and I did, my co-host Holly Stevens and I did, to 13 different allegedly haunted locations. And even if, you know, by sort of process of osmosis, you hear that, you know that these are supposedly haunted going in. It's not like you operate in a vacuum. Even if your crew just drove you to a house and dropped you off, you'd still know that the crew was driving you to a house that was supposedly haunted. Why? Because you're doing a ghost hunting show, not a cooking show. So any ghost hunter, and I use the term ghost hunter not to mean a particular series, but any so-called ghost investigator that shows up on TV and tries to pretend, well, we had no idea what to expect. Yeah, right. You absolutely know what to expect, and you've been briefed. So maybe there's things playing on your mind. Even taking that into account, there are ways where you can sort of find – you always find new things out when you get there. And sure, there were at least six of the places we went that I think Holly or I, or in some cases Holly and I together, had what I would call a genuinely weird experience. Doesn't mean – that it couldn't be explained in prosaic terms. It just means that I can't explain it in prosaic terms, and I've tried. So, but what that means, I don't know. All it means is something strange happened to us. And,
lay one or two on us, okay?
Sure. Actually, I'm trying to, because I've done a lot of shows promoting this, including an episode of the Paracast, that if you go in the archives, Holly and I were on back in April of 2009, I think, and we talked about ghost cases. One of the ones that I haven't really talked about quite so much is, and which involves physical evidence, I guess. We were at the Algonquin Hotel, which is in St. Andrews, New Brunswick, on the Maine border. Very creepy, very old hotel. And there were a number of sort of ghost stories about this place. I think every building in the Maritime Provinces in Canada is haunted. There's always a story. But one of the particular stories that we focused on was a bride in one of the rooms on the fourth floor. She, about 100 years ago, had showed up for her wedding. The husband had jilted her at the altar. Although for some reason my co-producer didn't want me to use the word jilted in my narration. I still don't understand that, but that was my co-producer. But she was jilted at the altar, so she went up to the fourth floor, and as the story goes, she jumped out the window and killed herself. Well, perfect. And now people have reported seeing her in the hallway and experiencing things in the room. So Holly and I would run this segment we called Spooky Hour, where we would spend about an hour in whatever the supposedly haunted room was and try and make contact for, you know, see if anything would happen. So it was us, maybe one or two lights to give it a spooky ambiance for television. Because, again, if anybody on a television show tells you that they're not ramping it up because it's television, they're lying. So I have no problem telling you, yeah, sure, we lit the room to make it look slightly spookier because it's television, people. At the end of the day, it's entertainment. But we also took what we were doing seriously. So you got the lights, you got us, you got the camera set up, and that's it. So we sit there. I do my shtick because I'm single and I was in a long-term relationship that broke up. I focused on that. I figured, look, you got dumped. Mine didn't work out. You know, I tried to pick up the ghost, for lack of a better way of putting it, which I think quite upset Holly. She was, you know, she was more upset than she usually was with me, and I'd done some pretty strange things. So anyway, nothing really happened. We went on, did our business, did some other things, ran some other sort of segments, and then the crew and I were all going to pack up. You know, we're done, thank you. And Holly went, we had set up DVR cameras, small mini DV infrared cameras throughout the hotel. We did that every place we went. Standard tools of the ghost investigating trade. You'll see them on Ghost Hunters and all those shows. So we had set one up in that room right by where the window was, but pointing into so you could see the room. It was just the best place to put it. We had the station, a computer station, at the opposite wall that just happened to be where we, after Holly and I had been done in that room, the crew had set up, because we were done in that room, they said, fine, we'll put the computer panel here that monitors all the DVR things, because we had moved on somewhere else. Now there was nobody in the room. Holly came back in, and as she tells it later, she said she felt like she had to apologize to the spirit of the wife or the bride if she was there for me. I never asked Holly to apologize for me, but she felt she had to. So she goes back in, and she just gravitates towards the monitor. You know, it's the bright, shiny thing in a dark room that's showing pictures. So she just naturally went there to have a look. As she kneels down on the stool to take a look at it, from the wall right beside her head, and this is being picked up on the DVR camera that is recording from the window in this direction, and I'm not a, you know, I think up until this point I thought every orb on the planet could be explained in prosaic terms. But here's what happens. An orb forms right next to her head and flies directly across the room in a straight line, you know, like a bee, it's not a piece of dust, it's a straight line, and right out, although you can't see it leave, but right by the camera, right to where the window is that the bride supposedly jumped out of. Now, to me, that's very interesting, and people we've shown that to, including a show on A&E, which is going to be showing it in the U.S., they were so interested in it. It's the kind of thing that you really don't see on Ghost Hunters or any of these other shows, and we happen to catch it. But what makes it even more interesting for me is that just after the orb flies past Holly's head, manifests and flies past her head, while it's still on screen, she turns around. She turns around and looks directly at the window, at the path that the orb is taking, as if, she put it later, as if she felt like maybe she sensed something behind her. Now, that's a story that contains a lot of moving parts. I wasn't even there, but I can review the footage. I can look at it. I have the greatest respect for Holly, who has a bachelor's degree in science. She's not a wingnut. She's a skeptic, like me. And both of us came out of that thinking that there may actually have been something paranormal happening there. Couldn't prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. All you can do is show people the footage and show them Holly and let her tell her, you know, why she turned around and say it's not just one thing that you can discount. You have to discount both things, her reaction and what you see on the screen. Good luck.
Nicholas Redfern, Greg Bishop, Paul Kimball, Christopher O'Brien joining us. You're in the PowerCast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack! Attack! Of the Rockaways. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockaways lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans the galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack, Attack of the Rockaways is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack, Attack of the Rockaways, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition."
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website,
yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms,
and not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
You worry, but only because you're paying attention. What's happening in the Gulf of Mexico illustrates an audacity toward nature. A similar audacity called GMO, or genetically modified organisms, means that the quality of commercially grown food may be compromised with our health in the balance. Now that summer's here, what better time to learn about the bounty that nature provides in wild edible food? Let author Linda Runyon show you the best-kept secret in plain sight, that food is everywhere you look. This summer, for the cost of a good meal or two out, you can literally starvation-proof yourself and your loved ones against any future craziness and put up tons of free food, too. Whatever experiment is being run on us, you can rest assured that Linda's 50 or so staple foods aren't involved. Our foods are their enemy. So go to ofthefield.com or call toll-free 1-888-51-EAT-FREE and take that first step. Make your oasis of food security and nutrition now. That's OFTHEFIELD.com or call 1-888-513-2837. Start now and make 2010 your year of independence.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I'm told that it has everything.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
Genesis.
You're in the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Our special UFO Paranormal Roundtable featuring our co-hosts, Chris O'Brien, Paul Kimball, Nick Redfern, Greg Bishop. Now, Paul, we should mention also that most of the so-called orb photos are really just dust reflections, right?
Yeah, and, you know, camera artifacts, all sorts. I mean, you should come into my apartment. There's dust flying everywhere.
In fact, your entire apartment is, I understand, an orb reflection.
It's an orb
factory. It's
not
there. It's just an orb.
An orb factory.
I go out on the sidewalk in the afternoon. Orb farm. I like that. I go on the sidewalk, free-range orbs, everybody. And, you know, I sort of sell them along with lemonade to little kids walking by.
He makes a lot of money, by the way. Ladies and gentlemen, he's got a franchise opportunity for you.
Yeah, Orby McOrby's Orbs Emporium. So there you go. Check it on the internet if you can remember that.
I think somebody's going to register that name right now.
Probably. So I had seen umpteen numbers of photos of orbs. We'd even recorded video of orbs, which I would look at, and I would go, well, that's clearly dust, or it's just moving like dust, you know, dust. I don't find anything remotely anomalous about this. My co-producer, who was perhaps a little more interested in ratings than I am, or perhaps he believed, I don't know, he took them more seriously. To get me to put them in an episode, I was just like, right, great. I'm not doing the narration for it. Get Holly to do it, because I can't do it with a straight face, with the exception of the Algonquin. And, you know, this is why I think people should take seriously a guy like me when I say something like this, because there you are. I basically just said 99.999% of all orbs can be explained. But then a guy like me comes forward, a true skeptic, and I say, you know what? I can't explain this one, particularly given the circumstances. So I think, you know, don't listen to the believers, and people know what I mean when I say that. Don't listen to what Greg would call the fundamentalist skeptics, the people who I call them disbelievers. They're the two sides of the same coin. Listen to the true skeptic, the people that are not convinced but keep an open mind. And I think all four of us here in our own ways are true skeptics. And Gene, too. I met the four co-hosts. And when people
well,
like
I'm always
us,
an afterthought, by the way, ladies and
well,
gentlemen.
Yeah.
I'm the afterthought. Don't worry about me. I'm just the fly on the wall.
Yeah, well, you're not involved with Orby McOrby's Orb Emporium, so.
I wish I was. I could use the extra cash. You know, maybe we can do a deal on the side here.
Ground floor. He just announced it.
That's right. Grounded floor of Orby McOrby's. That's going to be my Facebook update later tonight. Paul is now the manager of Orby McOrby's Orb Emporium. And nobody will know what I mean.
And farm.
And farm, sorry, yes.
And by the way, we can't run a stock offering. There are certain SEC regulations. You know, I understand that some people in the UFO field don't care about the SEC, but we do.
Yeah, right. Sean Morton will.
Yeah, you know who doesn't care about the SEC, Gene? Canadians.
I mean, I
that's right. You're a Canadian, so you have your own authority. Don't you have some kind of equivalent agency up there?
Yeah, probably. I don't worry about them, the feds, you know, until they come knock on my door with their hooded soldiers or whatever.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, if you are listening in Canada, you are a hooded soldier. Look up Paul's address. You know which address he's using right now. You know where he is. You know what he's doing. You know how to go after him. Go ahead.
Sure.
My permission.
There's all sorts of them. They were busy oppressing, you know, peace-loving citizens in Toronto at the G20 just a week ago. So I'm sure they have nothing better to do right now. So send them on down to Halifax. Here I am. Come on down, boys.
See, we never discuss politics here, right? But, yeah. You know, something that goes back to what we were talking about earlier, about government projects, black projects, secret government stuff. Anybody amongst this panel pay any heed at all to the claims of secret governments, secret leadership, that kind of stuff? Anybody want to jump in?
Somebody jump in. Well, I do sometimes. Go ahead.
Well, sometimes, I mean, I would say so to the effect that in the event of a national emergency, there are rules and regulations in place to, I won't say overthrow the government, but basically to, you know, embark on a path that it came to like martial law. There's no doubt about that. I mean, back in England, for example, in the late 1990s, I mean, I remember a friend of mine who had connections at the British government's Home Office actually showed me a number of documents drawn up in the event that, you know, there was a nuclear war. The documents, which I actually have copies of, which talk about, you know, things like invoking martial law, using like tear gas on people to prevent them getting to food supplies and things like that, you know, and that's only one step away from firing squads, etc. In, you know, in a national emergency like a nuclear attack, localized or countrywide. And countrywide, of course, there's probably going to be nobody around to control things anyway. But you know, I think whether or not you agree or perceive that as being like a secret government, or you perceive it as being the extreme form of government in the event of the most mind-numbing, worst disaster ever, I think is kind of a moot point. You know, do I think the Bilderbergers are going to take over the world tomorrow with the help of the reptilians? No, I don't. So.
Okay, Chris, you know, because you covered all those strange events in the San Luis Valley, anything amongst all those crazy things give you the impression of government involvement of some sort?
Absolutely. In terms of the operative word there, Gene, is impression. Yes, many times I was impressed. Can I prove any of the, you know, some sort of nefarious agenda that could, you know, somehow be, you know, connecting all these what seem to be divergent events? No, I can't. But if I have a wave of UFO sightings and, you know, several dozen reports and also military convoys that nobody can really identify are zipping around the, you know, the valley. In one case, we have a National Guard unit that used to be a medical unit. Now it's a military police unit. They were sent out for training on some maneuvers, I think, in another state. And while they were gone, there seemed to be military convoys being reported on by a number of witnesses zipping around the valley right at the height of a UFO wave. Now, I personally am impressed by that. Can I prove that there's any sort of connection between the appearance of a, you know, a shadowy convoy activity, you know, on that weekend? No, I can't. There may be no connection at all. It may be some sort of coincidence or meaningful synchronicity. What have you. But, you know, I really think that the military-industrial complex, that nefarious multi-headed beast that Eisenhower warned us of when he was leaving office, you know, people say, well, is there going to be disclosure of the UFO mystery and what our government knows? Is the government going to disclose this? Heck no. It's the military-industrial complex, in my opinion, that probably has the, you know, is holding the strings of knowledge, I think, in many ways. I think our elected officials are probably as out of the loop about much of this stuff as we are. And I think it's your aerospace companies, it's your high-tech, you know, black project developers. I think they're the ones that are probably the ones that are riding herd on a lot of this information. So when we say black projects, government, military, we also have to include the corporations that tend to call the shots in much of what goes on, in at least here in the United States. They definitely have to be factored into the equation. So, you know, you talk about underground bases, you talk about exotic aerial craft, these types of things. Sure, the government probably has a role in this, but I think a lot of this really is on the doorstep of the high-tech aerospace companies and others.
You know, there also were reports back in the 1950s that, as a matter of fact, it's one of the discussions that have happened over at the PowerCast forums at forum.thepowercast.com, where Ike, President Eisenhower, met E.T. back in the 1950s. Anybody lend credence to any of that? Okay, that's a good answer. Thank you.
Yeah, no, haven't heard anything to convince me of such things, and many things to not convince me of it, because it's based on inferences from documents that have been uncovered about Ike's whereabouts when he was out here visiting California and Palm Springs in 1956 or 7 or whenever it was. No direct evidence. But, of course, there's no direct evidence of any of these things. So you kind of take it under advisement. However, there are people that are willing and want to believe such things, and those are the ones that push it as the truth. Because they want it to be the truth. Now, from most people's perspective, it's just, like I said, inference from a vagueness about where Ike was for a few hours on one day on that trip out to California.
Isn't that something where he supposedly went to a dentist or something? Of course, I was alive in the 50s, but I don't remember that particular case. But some people think I've been alive for so long it doesn't matter what case is involved. I probably must remember it. You know, I remember Ezekiel's wheels. Someone wrote me a letter. Gene, you remember Ezekiel's wheels, don't you? We have Paul Kimball, Nicholas Redfern, Greg Bishop, Christopher O'Brien, because they're just great co-hosts for the PowerCast. I don't want to emphasize one over the other, so I vary the pace in the introductions. Another hour coming. You're in the PowerCast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.